Hey, welcome to the More Than Money podcast. This is Chris Burns. I hope you're having a great week and thank you for taking a few minutes with us. Now, I may be shooting myself in the foot with this podcast. When folks come to see us, a lot of the reason for that, when folks come and go through our financial planning process, one of the main reasons is because they feel like they don't understand investing and they want us to manage their money. They want to learn from our investment expertise, so to say. And so, whether they actually have us manage their money or we just critique what they're doing and they can get a better understanding, a lot of it's how do I learn how to invest well? And that makes sense. And by the way, we spend a lot of time. I've spent a whole lot of time studying, learning, trying to figure out the most effective investment strategies. And so, yes, that's a big part of what we do. But this podcast is going to tell you why all of that is actually secondary to the two foundational tools you need to invest well. So all the learning, all the time spent reading, all the understanding the exact right type of investments you could be involved with, all that's good. It's good, but it's secondary to the two most important basic tools you need to be really successful long-term in investing. So I'm going to tell you what those are on this podcast, and I hope whether you work with me or not, that you take these to heart because these could truly transform your retirement, your future, your long-term investment reality. And so if you have any questions as you listen to this today, this is an important topic, jump on my website. It's mylifeismore.com. You can ask anything. I will get back to you personally. Again, it's mylifeismore.com and enjoy the show. First up today, the market has been a little bit crazy this week, and that's understandable if you've been watching what's going on. We entered the week with a significant trade dispute with China that could be turning into a trade war. I won't go into the fine print here, but we basically levied tariffs, import taxes against Chinese goods late last week. They responded with the same amount of taxes against American goods coming into China, and then now President Trump has threatened a significant increase in that. So we started with $50 billion of goods being taxed from China. He's now threatening an additional $200 billion. So it's getting intense. It's getting intense in the market because these are the two largest economies in the world, understandably, is freaking out a bit. And so we saw volatility, and that continued throughout the week with all sorts of different things going on. We saw an increase in interest rates again, not surprisingly, from the Fed. We saw significant work in mergers and acquisitions where 21st Century Fox was acquired by AT&T, or at least given the go-ahead for AT&T to acquire them. All sorts of major things going on. And we could spend a lot of time discussing any of those topics, but I want to get down to something, again, a little bit more practical here, and that is this. When you see this kind of volatility in the market, a lot of folks go, do I need to change the way I am investing right now? Because last year, in the glory days of 2017, the market was shooting up, and I didn't have to think too much about, am I going to be okay? Because everything, no matter what you invested in, was flying up. But now, when we've had a year that's been basically flat, we've seen a lot of up and a lot of down, and there's a lot of question marks about the future, people go, do I need to change the way I invest? Do I need to become far more conservative? I want to give you a tip today about how to feel confident when the market's going up and down. And really, honestly, across the board, if the market was way up, this would still apply. If we were in a recession, this would still apply, okay? But especially mentally, when the market's choppy and there's a lot of unknowns, a lot of instability, what can you do to be a successful, solid, rock-solid investor in times like this? And I'll tell you what, here's the crazy thing. I'm going to give you two steps to this, but neither of these is based on vast investment knowledge or wisdom. Okay, I had a client come in, it was about 2 weeks ago, and they had been shopping around advisors. And by the way, I recommend this. If you, at least I don't think it's a bad thing. You know, some folks come to see us, see my firm, and they walk in and they say, hey, we want to work with you. They just already know they want to work with us. That's fine. Other people, though, have shopped a number of firms. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's good to kind of get a feel for how different financial planning offices work. And this particular client came in and they had talked to a few different companies. And they primarily were looking for how are we doing with investing, and they wanted to see charts of investment returns over time, and because they were comparing and contrasting that, and that was fine. There was absolutely nothing wrong with that, and I have all that data, so I'm pulling it out and I'm showing it to them. But then I added this on, and maybe they hadn't heard this at the other places, and I understand that because it's not really a popular thing to say. But I said, you know what? We have a lot of knowledge about investing, and I'm a kind of a nerd, so I love digging into this. But I will never claim that you're going to get a better return here than the place down the street. I'm never going to say, hey, when you come here, we'll make 9% versus their 8%. In fact, even if we have beaten other places consistently, even if that was true, I'm not going to sit and tell you the reason you should come invest with us is because we'll beat the competition year over year and give you the best returns. Because honestly, and here's the scary part, here's the part that I'm not supposed to say, that's not my primary goal. And they kind of paused and were like, well, then what are we talking about? In other words, why would I want to come work with you and have you invest my money if your primary goal is not to get a better return than the folks around you? And I said, well, let me dig into this a little bit. It's not that I don't want to give you the best possible return. I care a lot about you getting a great return, okay? But my primary goal is not that you hit a grand slam this year and get the best possible return this year. My primary goal is that you hit consistent singles and doubles year after year after year. Because if you look at 20 years of working with someone, that is far more impactful than being at the place that gives you the grand slam one year and then strikes out the next four at bats. Pardon the sports analogy here. But you hear my point. So many folks come in, I've had so many clients come in and say, well, I'm going to test you out for the year. In other words, I'm going to see what kind of returns you get this year. And I understand why they would say that. I get it. But that's not how investing actually works. It's just not. And here's the scary thing. Solid, strong investing is way more to do with the behavior of the investor than it does with the investments he or she is in. Let me say this again. Solid, strong, long-term investing, the success of that has way more to do with the behavior of the investor, that's you and me, than it does with the investment methodology, the actual investments that you are in. You may not agree with that. I'm going to tell you why in just a second. First of all, if you're just joining us, this is Chris Burns. You're listening to More Than Money, and I'm going to blow your minds for a second. I'm going to tell you something you don't want to hear, that all the academic intelligence, all this time spent studying investing that I've done is actually not the primary driver of your success over time in investing, that you are. And I'm going to tell you why. If you just missed the first part of our show, you want to catch it, go to mylifeismore.com. You can listen to past shows, this show, ask questions. Again, it's mylifeismore.com. So do you disagree with me already? A lot of times we spend so much time. I spend a whole meeting with clients. They go through a process when they work with us. And I told this client who came in this, when you work with us, we will spend an entire meeting discussing investment philosophy, how that applies to you, how we figure out what risk you should be taking, how that blends with where you're at. But let me just tell you up front, while all of that is important, by far the most important piece of your success is actually you. And here's why. We can spend all day figuring out the perfect investment plan. And if you stuck with that plan, you might get consistent, solid returns over time. But if in 6 months you go, you know what, that's actually not working. Your anxiety overtakes you, or you see a new hot stock or technology, or you have fear of missing out, FOMO. I told you I just learned that phrase from my kids, FOMO, fear of missing out. And so you dive into some other new thing and you start jumping around. There's a really good chance you'll have a significant drop in your portfolio. That getting out because you're worried or getting into the wrong thing and putting too much money in one thing and it tanks, that behavior, and here's the word, behavior is what drives the real problem over time, not necessarily what you're investing in. Some of you really need to hear this. You think the solution to all your problems is finding the right investments, and really, the solution is changing your investing behavior. You need to stop jumping around. You need to pick a risk you can handle and stick with it because, friends, investing is kind of boring. Solid long-term investing really is the tortoise and the hare. It really is slow and steady wins the race. It's not find this amazing thing that blows up. But so many of us meddle in our investments. We get into the middle of it. We might have been in something really good, but we change it because of anxiety or FOMO or because we just get bored. I don't know. But that change, that behavioral change, is what so often causes us to find ourselves coming up short over time in investing. And this isn't just me saying this. I've seen this time and time again. There's a group called Dalbar. They do a study every single year seeking to figure out what is the impact of behavior on investment returns. And the results have been staggering. Okay, the results have shown that while over a number of years, if you had just invested in the S&P 500, you would have made double-digit returns over time, that the average American investor has made somewhere closer to 3 to 4%. And the reason for that is because most all of us, when the market is up, we tend to want to be in it. And when it's down, we tend to want to be out of it. And that dictates what we do, and that can be totally destructive. Let me tell you what I told this client. This is kind of crazy. Just think about this for a minute. And I've talked about this before, but because so many people walk in and they want to look at specifically, can I make 8% with you instead of 7? Can you show me how to make 9 instead of 6? Well, whatever it is, okay? And it's all about making a little bit more. And my answer to them is, look, again, we will spend a lot of time talking about how you can have the best possible investment blend, but can we cut to the chase here? The real issue could be the way you are approaching this. Because I'm not primarily concerned with getting you 0.5% higher than the next person down the street. I'm more concerned with you being consistent and actually winning over the next 10, 15, 25 years. And that's more about your behavior than it is necessarily the investment blend you have, okay? So let me tell you what happened in the market in the last number of months. 2017, the market was way up, right? Massive growth. And a lot of people that were sitting on the sidelines watched it and they started feeling this thing, FOMO, the fear of missing out. They said, man, the market is up. Should I get into it? Should I put more money into it? Maybe I should do that. But they held on and they waited. And then finally, at the end of the year, they jumped in. So January 2018, we saw the largest inflows, new money coming into the market ever, because we were coming off of this massive year, 2017. And then in February, the market dipped and we saw volatility that we had not seen in 2017. Guess what happened? You guessed it. The largest outflows away from the market ever in history. Now, let me ask you what this does to a portfolio. If you wait to get in until the market has exploded, what are you doing? You're buying when it's incredibly expensive, okay? And then if the market starts to tank or drop and you get out, what are you doing? You're selling as you're losing money. You're selling. It's like a fire sale, right? There is nothing that can cripple a portfolio faster than buying when stocks are incredibly expensive and selling as they lose value. And yet that is the human condition. Can we own that for a second? All of us, when the market is dropping, all of us want to know that our money is safe. And we hate that feeling. We don't want to be in it. We certainly don't want to do what we're quote unquote supposed to do, which is buy as the market is dropping and sell as it's going up. That goes against everything that our brains are wired to do to be safe. So it totally makes sense. But friends, that is what kills a portfolio. So there's two steps that I gave this person that came in. I said, look, whether you work with me or not, or you work with one of the other advisors you're talking with, let me give you two steps to change your investment returns over time. I'm going to give those to you as well, okay? So if you have a pen, paper, here you go. Free wisdom. Here we are. All right. Step number one is pick a risk tolerance that you can actually handle. We talk about risk tolerance so much in our industry, and so much of it is nonsense, right? Because when you're sitting in my office and it's air conditioned and you're drinking a nice hot cup of coffee, or this time of year, a nice maybe cold cup of iced coffee, I don't know, but you're enjoying yourself and it's a stimulating discussion on investment philosophy, right? So as we're talking, I say, well, how much risk can you handle? And you might say, well, you know, I don't mind risk. I can handle risk pretty well because it doesn't feel very real as we sit there chatting. But then when the market's tanking a few years later and you call me late at night freaking out because you can't sleep, Now suddenly it really, really, really matters to you. So the problem with risk tolerance in our industry is that we're not in foxholes when we talk about it. We're usually in nice air-conditioned offices. So the only way to get to a real idea of risk is, how have you handled risk in the past? Right? Have you been able to stick in the market when it's been dropping or not? There's actually not a good or a bad to this. It's just understanding your personality. How do you handle this kind of stuff? Because quality of life matters. The goal here is not that you mathematically have the most money possible. It's that you enjoy that process as well, because life is short, friends. We don't need to live with stress every single day. So the first thing to figure out is, what risk is the right blend for you? And it's a blend of two things. I've talked about this before. It's a blend of a math factor. That is, what does your plan need to be successful? How much risk can your plan afford to take in the market? And the second is a sleep factor. And that's, what can you handle? Because if you're miserable, that's not okay either. And the blend of those two tells you your risk factor. So step one to being incredibly successful long-term as an investor is understanding your risk. Let me pause on this. How many of you listening right now don't really know the right level of risk for you? You're missing one of those two things. You don't know if either the math factor is correct in your portfolio, you're not sure if you're taking risk that your plan can handle, or if you're really honest, on the sleep side, you go, you know what? I don't know if I'm really at a great place for what I can handle if the market were to drop right now. I can handle it right now because the market hasn't tanked, but am I taking the level of risk that if it really started to drop, I wouldn't be able to handle that? You might need to evaluate your risk. That's step one. Step two, once you've figured out your risk, step two is far more difficult. That's sticking with it. Sticking with it. Obsessively, annoyingly, sticking with that risk level. So what does that mean? And this is the trick. Let's say you know that you are 2 years from retirement and you can no, your plan and your sleep factor can no longer handle aggressive growth. So you're in a moderate portfolio. You're kind of 50% in equities, maybe 50 to 60%, and maybe 50 to 60% in fixed, really low risk stuff. Okay, you figured that out. Now your job is to stick with that. And the only way to stick with it is by two things. One, rebalancing constantly, because it will get out of whack. It's like a seesaw. If the market is up, then the equities, the growth portion of your portfolio, will rise faster than the fixed and you'll get out of balance. You got to bring that portfolio back into balance by selling some of what's up and rebalancing the portfolio. I rebalance portfolios every single quarter, like clockwork. Come hell or high water, we've got to get back to the risk level that our plan and our sleep can handle. Okay, so first, we have to rebalance all the time. And secondly, you've got to stay in. Okay, that you've got, this is why part one is so important, to pick something, a risk level that's healthy for you, because now it's your job to stick with it. Again, the number one thing that kills portfolios is us jumping out of those portfolios when we feel anxiety, when we feel fear. I talked about an article a few months ago written by Jason Zweig, a guy at the Wall Street Journal I deeply respect, where he actually kept a journal of his experience in 2008. You might remember us talking about this, because it was so powerful to me to watch someone who had so much head knowledge, right? He understood everything about investing. He knows more about investing than I will ever know, talking about how painful emotionally it was for him to stick with it in 2008 as the market dropped and dropped and dropped. And so it was super encouraging to hear someone be so intellectually honest and say, even with all the head knowledge, this was really, really hard. Friends, it's going to be hard. But good investing over time means pick the risk you know you can handle, then stick with it regardless. And that will put you so far ahead of everyone else. And what did I not say here? I did not say good investing is primarily knowing the exact perfect investments to be in. Is the way you structure it important? Certainly. There's real value to understanding how you should invest. But truthfully, practically, the most impactful thing will be, did you pick the right risk level and did you stick with it? That will do more than anything else. There you go. There's your free advice. So as you listen right now, some of you go, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to find the right risk level. It's a balance of what my plan can handle and what I can handle. And I don't know how to stick with it. And let me say too, beyond both of those things, if you want some help understanding the right investments to be in, that first piece, it's not the most important thing, but I do nerd out on that, okay? I would love to do that with you. So much of my job and my firm's job is to be financial coaches. Yes, a big chunk is upfront helping you find the right investments, but just as important is being a friend and a colleague and a mentor standing next to you when things are rough in the market. I will never forget the phone calls that I've gotten from folks when they've wanted to pull out because of anxiety. It's like I have a personal trainer right now. He's a guy that I did a podcast with, Lindsay Turner, a number of months ago. And then we became friends and I found out he was doing some personal training fitness-wise. I said, well, why don't we do some together? And he has totally transformed my working out, but not because he actually is doing anything that's rocket science, no offense, Lindsay, but because he's just standing next to me, pushing me, mentoring me, holding me to it, keeping me going. And that is invaluable. That's what we do. So if you want to have success, often you need people around you. And I would love to be a part of that group that encourages you to stay the course for solid, long-term, healthy investing that could transform your retirement and your future because you found the right risk level and friends, you stuck with it. If you want that kind of coach and friend in the process, jump on my website. It's mylifeismore.com. You can ask any question there, but you can also sign up for a free consultation with me, Chris Burns. We'll talk about your situation and see if we're a fit to help coach you through that and stick with you as you take that journey. Again, it's mylifeismore.com.